This is Fresh Air. The Mexican-born director Guillermo del Toro is known for such otherworldly fantasies as Pan's Labyrinth, Crimson Peak, and the Hellboy movies. He won the top prize at the Venice Film Festival for his new film, The Shape of Water, which stars Sally Hawkins as a woman whose job is cleaning offices. She finds herself caught up in government intrigue during the Cold War. Film critic Justin Chang has this review.
The Shape of Water is such a lyrical and imaginative piece of storytelling that I'm genuinely disappointed that I didn't love it more. There's no doubting the visionary credentials of the director, Guillermo del Toro, though his richly atmospheric fantasies are often more inspired in concept than they are in the moment-to-moment unfolding. The great exception is his Oscar-winning 2006 film, Pan's Labyrinth, a masterpiece of historical fantasy, in which he held a brutal Spanish war story and a transporting fairy tale in exquisite balance. The Shape of Water attempts, and sometimes achieves, a similar alchemy. Set in 1962, it's both a stylized vision of Cold War paranoia and an old-school monster movie in the vein of Creature from the Black Lagoon. The creature here is a sort of scaly green humanoid with gills, webbed extremities, and soulful eyes, played by Del Toro's regular collaborator, Doug Jones. He was recently discovered in the Amazon and is now being held and observed in a top-secret facility in Baltimore, where government officials, believing him to possess godlike powers, hope to use him in their fight against the Russians. We are ushered into this underground laboratory by a shy cleaning woman named Eliza, played by Sally Hawkins, the British actress known for her work in Happy-Go-Lucky and Blue Jasmine. Hawkins' performance is wondrously expressive and almost entirely silent. Eliza is mute, having had her vocal cords slashed by an abusive guardian when she was just a baby. Her physical disability grants her an immediate sense of empathy for the captive specimen, and as she mops the floor near his water tank, she initiates an unlikely friendship, feeding him boiled eggs and communicating with him in sign language. Before long, Eliza becomes determined to set the creature free, at which point The Shape of Water morphs into a tense prison break thriller and a striking Beauty and the Beast romance. It also becomes, somewhat heavy-handedly, a tale of repressed minorities banding together to fight the establishment. It's no accident that Eliza's only two other friends are her neighbor Giles, an aging gay artist embodied with soulful depth by Richard Jenkins, and a co-worker, Zelda, warmly played by Octavia Spencer, who, after The Help and Hidden Figures, is no stranger to capturing the resilience a black woman needed to survive in the 60s. One sequence beautifully captures her friendship with Eliza, who listens quietly as Zelda discusses her daily routine.
Oh, my feet are already killing me. I made rooster pigs in a blanket tonight before leaving. Boy, he just ate them up. No thank yous, no yum-yums, not a peep. Man is as silent as a grave. But if farts are flattery, kinda he be Shakespeare. And then I get home and I make him breakfast. Eggs, bacon, and butter toast. I butter the man's toast a lot. Both sides. As if he was a child. And I don't even get a thank you. You'd be grateful because you're an educated woman, but my Bruce, all he had going for him was animal magnetism back in the day. Hadn't worked in a while. In the sand hill. Lou! You boys mind putting the trash in the can? That's what it's there for.
Elsewhere at the lab, Michael Stuhlbarg lends some heft and nuance to the role of a scientist so awed by the creature's existence that he winds up disobeying orders and becoming an unexpected ally. But the villain of the piece, the one who reminds us that humans are often the greatest monsters, is a sadistic government agent tasked with ensuring that the creature cooperates. He's played by Michael Shannon, who gives an arresting, if obvious, performance in his by-now patented bug-eyed lunatic mode. The look of The Shape of Water is intoxicating and, true to the movie's title, marvelously fluid. Del Toro moves the camera around his sets like an expressionist master. At times, he seems to be trying to see how many different shades of green he can fit into Paul D. Osterberry's production design, from the bright teal of a sporty new Cadillac to the murkier aquamarine of the laboratory walls. The director loves the visual and emotional extravagance of old Hollywood, And at one point, he gives Eliza and her amphibious paramour a dreamlike dance number in the style of the old black-and-white musicals she watches on TV. It's a lovely gesture, but also one you can see coming. If Del Toro is an exuberant devotee of classic American movies, his scholarship sometimes feels a bit, well, studied. Out there as it is, The Shape of Water has fewer surprises up its sleeve than you might hope, and its surrealism can feel too neatly diagrammed by half. I'm not sure the movie fully earns its audacious central romance, which feels less like a wondrous, spontaneous leap than a stroke of calculated perversity that arrives right on cue. Which more or less sums up my attitude toward the movie. It's a gorgeous achievement, to be sure, but no matter how much I wanted to fall for it, it kept wriggling out of my embrace.
Justin Chang is a film critic for the Los Angeles Times.